Professional Book Nerds podcast presented by Overdrive. This is Joe. Thanks so much for joining us today. Before we dive into our picks today, remember to rate, review, and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you do your listening. Those ratings really help push our podcast out to more listeners just like you who are looking for some good book recommendations. We're on social media. Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok are at ProBookNerds. And you can email us with questions or suggestions for future episodes, professionalbooknerds@overdrive.com. With that, it's that magical time in the month where we share what books that are coming out that we are most excited to pick up. Of course, this is not everything because we'd be here for days recording, but our top 10. So hi, Emma's here with me. How are
Hello.
You?
Hello. Good. How are you?
I'm good. It's Tuesday. Yes, when we're recording, it's the day after the eclipse.
Yeah.
We were in the sight line or the path or whatever they're calling it.
The path of totality. It was cooler than I thought it would be, to be honest.
Same. I think we talked about it in our nerd chat and we were like, whatever, we'll see what we see.
Well, because right, the fear is always that it's going to be cloudy here because it's literally been cloudy and rainy for the last 14 million years. And it was perfectly sunny and clear. So
like
that was cool.
Temperatures. I mean, we had a fantastic day yesterday and the lighting, so cool.
It was really cool.
It was creepy to have it be like dark as night at 3:15, but also at the same time, I can't even describe it. It was dark, but it wasn't dark. If that makes sense, like the sky went completely dark, but if you looked at like the horizon around you, there was still light. So yeah. It was eerie. But
it was really weird. And I discovered that the lights in my neighborhood turn on automatically when it gets dark. I don't know why. My husband was like, well, yeah, someone's not like flipping a switch. And I was like, well, I didn't think they were. I just assumed they turned on like at a set time, like at 5 o'clock or whatever. And they don't. They turned on when it got dark. So then they turned off again, which was weird.
Now I'm wondering if the streetlights on our street did that too. Cause like the light on my house has one of those bulbs in it that it can tell if it's dark or light. So it flipped on and then it was like flickering as the light was slowly coming back. But yeah,
it might.
It's so weird. In case I didn't say it, these are our May book picks. I was so excited to see Emma and talk about the eclipse for a moment. But before we get into our picks, here are our interviews coming up this May. This is actually a loaded one for us because we're including our lives. Emma will be talking to Carly Fortune for This Summer Will Be Different. I talked to Cindy Rx-Huh for Perfect Little Monsters. And then Emma will be interviewing Harlan Coben live for Think Twice. And I'll be talking to Daniel Handler live for his memoir, And Then What Else? So we've got a packed May coming. Just a note that our live interviews will be coming to the podcast feed. They might not all be out in May. We're playing around with releases and whatnot, but those are the interviews that will be happening for us in May. So if you are in the Northeast Ohio area, come see us at Parma Snow Library for our live episodes. And if you are not local, you'll be able to hear those in May and June.
Very exciting. And I do have to just shout out that Carly Fortune fans, This Summer Will Be Different. I'm making a bold claim, is her best yet. It's her best yet, 10 out of 10. So I hope everyone is excited to hear that conversation and read that book. Yes, so good.
So many fun things to look forward to in this month, most specifically for this episode, the book's coming out. Emma, do you want to kick us off?
Yes, please.
You have a lot of titles on your list that I was mad weren't on my list, and this might be one of them.
Sorry. This one, but this one. Give me credit. I have been waiting for this book since 2019. So I was supposed to meet Tom Selleck at Book Expo America in 2019. He was going to be at one of the library panels, and he did not appear because this book took a little bit longer to write and get done. And so I've literally never recovered from the time that I almost met Tom Selleck and did not. But you might know him from Magnum PI or Blue Bloods or like a million other things. And we finally get to read all about his life story in, I should tell you the title, his book, You Never Know by Tom Selleck. This is out May 7th. In my excitement, didn't even tell you what the book was called. But we're hearing everything again directly from the source. So Tom writes about his friendships with famous people from the likes of Frank Sinatra to Sam Elliott. I also love Sam Elliott, so I'm dying to read about those stories. And he writes about the struggles of balancing his personal life and his professional life. I think something that a lot of folks might struggle with in this era of social media, even not including celebrity, but just like how much do you share of yourself, of your family? And he's obviously sharing what he wants to share in this book. And so I'm even more intrigued to see what's included. And as a Blue Bloods fan through and through, I can't wait to read this book on May 7th, because who doesn't just love like a procedural crime drama? I mean, if you don't, that's fine, but don't tell me. So You Never Know by Tom Selleck is out May 7th. I have literally been waiting for this book for 5 years. So I'm very excited that it's finally here.
You have, I still think fondly of us seeing recently when this was coming out and you being like, it's time.
It's finally time. I can't wait. Joe, what is your first pick for May?
My first pick is Cunning Folk, Life in the Era of Practical Magic by Tabitha Stanmore. I'm sure this is not a surprise to Emma that this is on my list. This comes out May 28th. It's a vibrant look at an unsettled and strangely familiar time that overturns our assumptions about the history of magic. So imagine it's the year 1600 and you've lost your precious silver spoons, or maybe they've been stolen. Perhaps your child has a fever or you're facing a trial. Maybe you're looking for love or escaping a husband. What do you do? In medieval and early modern Europe, your first port of call might have been cunning folk, practitioners of service magic. Neither feared like witches nor venerated like saints, they were essential to daily life. For people across ages, genders, and social ranks, practical magic was a cherished resource for navigating life's many challenges. In this historian Tabitha Stanmore's beguiling account, we meet lovelorn widows, dissolute nobles, selfless healers, and renegade monks. We listen in on Queen Elizabeth I's astrology readings and track treasure hunters trying to unearth buried gold without upsetting the fairies that guard it. Much like us, pre-modern people lived in a bewildering world buffeted by forces beyond their control. As Stanmore reveals, their faith in magic has much to teach about how to accommodate the irrational in our allegedly enlightened lives today. So it's listed as charming in every sense. It is once an immersive reconstruction of a bygone era and a thought-provoking commentary on the beauty and bafflement of being human. So kicking off with a nonfiction title, but that is Cunning Folk by Tabitha Stanmore. I love the cover. I think it sounds really interesting to see how the approach has changed so much from looking at the specific group of people that were initially very in for service magic and then suddenly starting the witch trials. So I'm interested to see how Tabitha pieces that all together.
That sounds like a wonderful pick. And the cover is really cool, as a side note.
What's next on your list?
I don't think this will surprise anyone that the next pick on my list is The Paradise Problem by Christina Loren. This is out on May 14th. So writing duo Christina Loren, if you didn't know, it's two people, never let me down. I've not read a bad book from them. And so I really cannot wait for their latest installment, The Paradise Problem. This introduces readers to Anna Green and Liam Weston. Liam is the heir to a grocery store fortune, and Anna is a starving artist. They meet at UCLA and marry under an arrangement that seemingly benefits both parties, cheaper housing at college. Anna assumes that they'll sign those divorce papers the minute their graduation caps are tossed in the air. And she signs the papers and they go their merry ways. Turns out 3 years later, the divorce was never finalized. And West has a problem So he won't see a cent of his absolutely massive inheritance unless he's been successfully married for 5 years. So we've got to love those outdated inheritance clauses. But does West dare introduce his artsy and pure of heart wife to the horrible 1% that makes up his family? Can they fake it for a week among high society for West's sister's destination wedding? So we have fake dating, marriage of convenience, complicated families, opposites attract, a little bit of second chance romance, and dual POV. So sign me up. The Paradise Problem by Christina Lauren is out May 14th.
Lots of the words that I know you like in romance.
I stand by. Yeah, fake dating is one of my number one favorite tropes.
It's a good one. Fake dating is a really good one because it just makes such an easy transition into actually dating.
Exactly. Joe, what is your next pick?
My next pick is Keepers of the Stones and Stars by Michael Barakiva. And this is out May 21st. We're getting some YA fantasy out there for you. I love the byline, save the world, get the guy. Why not? It's a witty young adult contemporary fantasy about a group of five teens chosen by magical gems to save the world. Reed is leading his best life. He just kissed the boy of his dreams. His band is finally taking off, and he's a shoo-in to get elected as next year's student council president. But he's ready to give it all up when his suspiciously aristocratic guidance counselor tells him he's been chosen to go on the adventure of a lifetime, because Reed is the first of the five stone bearers chosen by magical gems and granted their powers. All he has to do is unite all five and lead them to seal a portal that will release an onslaught of uncontrollable, chaotic, magical energies and destroy the world as we know it. It's up to the ruby, sapphire, topaz, emerald, and amethyst bearers to save the world, fulfilling their roles in a centuries-old cycle that dates back to 17th century Mughal India and the first keepers of the stones and stars. So that is Keepers of the Stones and Stars by Michael Barakiva, and that is out May 21st. Again, this like very much speaks to young me, my reading interests back then. I know I would have devoured this. This would have been my series growing up, for sure. So I love to kind of stay on top of what little me loved to read and see how that's progressing. So we'll see how it goes.
That sounds great and sort of goes in line with my next pick, where by I just picked something that you can anticipate I would pick. And that is The Last Murder at the End of the World by Stuart Turton. This comes out on May 21st. So Stuart Turton is known for his inventive murder mysteries. His book, Evelyn Hardcastle, a few years ago was and remains one of the coolest books that I have read in that genre. And I'm really looking forward to The Last Murder at the End of the World because we have a deadly fog that's destroyed the planet and everyone in its path, except for one spot, the scenic and lovely island. Now, on the island, we have 122 villagers and miraculously three scientists who have survived the deadly fog, and it remains at bay off of the island. And everything's going as smoothly as can be expected in a post-apocalyptic world with deadly fog until one of the scientists is found brutally murdered. And as a result, the security system that sort of keeps the fog at bay on the island has been disrupted. And so then they've got a ticking clock before that security system is completely overtaken and the fog gets on the islanders and everything is destroyed. So to make things that much more complicated, that same security system, which sounds a little bit magical, science techie, it's also wiped everyone's memories from the night of the murder. So that means somebody did it and they don't even know it. And we've got that race against the clock to prevent the deadly fog from wiping out the island. We've got to find a murderer. I can't wait to see how this unfolds on May 21st. So that is The Last Murder at the End of the World by Stuart Turton.
I know you've been looking forward to this. So many of the authors I've talked to in the last couple months, this has been on their reading list as well. It definitely gives me like Lost vibes.
Yeah, it does. And I like the mix of like a deadly fog. Mm-hmm. There's like some type of magical or like scientific system keeping them safe. This like self-preserved island, conveniently with three scientists.
I know. I love that there's this blend of like magical, but science. But if they said halfway through that it was aliens, I also wouldn't be surprised. Like how whatever is kind of like governing and keeping them safe. I'm cool with the fact that you've got a few different ways it could go.
Yeah.
It sounds really cool.
It sounds great. And just knowing like the other books that he's written, the way that those play out has been so creative. I'm really looking forward to seeing how this story evolves. So
definitely. I've got my next pick is one in a similar vein. Today I tried to group my titles in a way that made sense with what their themes and genres were. But I think this plays really nice off of your last pick. This is The Ministry of Time by Kellane Bradley. This one is out May 7th. It's listed as part time travel romance, part spy thriller, and 100% multifaceted joyride. That's from Harper's Bazaar UK. Welcome to The Ministry of Time, the exhilaratingly original debut by Kellane Bradley. In the near future, a civil servant is offered the salary of her dreams and is shortly afterward told what project she'll be working on. A recently established government ministry is gathering expats from across history to establish whether time travel is feasible for the body, but also for the fabric of space-time. She is tasked with working as a bridge, living with, assisting, and monitoring the expat known as 1847, or Commander Graham Gore. As far as history is concerned, Commander Gore died on Sir John Franklin's doomed 1845 expedition to the Arctic, so he's a little disoriented to be living with an unmarried woman who regularly shows her calves, surrounded by outlandish concepts such as washing machines, Spotify, and the collapse of the British Empire. But with an appetite for discovery, a 7-a-day cigarette habit, and a support of a charming and chaotic cast of fellow expats, he soon adjusts. Over the next year, what the bridge initially thought would be, at best, a horrifically uncomfortable roommate dynamic, evolves into something much deeper. By the time the true shape of the ministry's project comes to light, the bridge has fallen haphazardly, fervently in love, with consequences she could have never imagined. Forced to confront the choices that brought them together, the bridge must finally reckon with how and whether she believes what she should do next can change the future. So, exquisitely original and feverishly a fun fusion of genres and ideas, The Ministry of Time asks, what does it mean to defy history when history is living in your house? So again, that is The Ministry of Time by Kellane Bradley, and that is out May 7th. I love the cover. I think the concept is so fun. Yeah.
This sounds so cool, especially because it's like, if you like Outlander, if you like time travel and like a spy thriller.
Yeah.
Those are not things I thought I needed together, but I do.
Emma, what's your next pick?
My next pick is... surprise, surprise, another romance. But it's by Alabama Hannah. If you are familiar, Bachelor Nation, Unite. We have Mistakes We Never Made by Hannah Brown. This is out on May 7th. I always like to shout out the tropes if you're so inclined. We have second chance romance. We have frenemies to lovers, a missing bride days before the wedding, and a road trip. So if any of those things piques your interest, let me tell you more. We have Emma and Finn, also very popular to have your main character in a romance named Emma, which is kind of weird to me because no one had my name when I was growing up, just as a side note. But Emma and Finn have had a series of almosts. They almost dated in high school. They almost hooked up after college. They almost took things too far one magical night. And they were the best thing that could have been, but never was. And now, after all this time, they truly can't stand each other. I'm like, or so they think. But when a friend of both of Emma and Finn is set to get married, they're put back in proximity to one another during the wedding weekend. They're doing such a good job pretending that they're so unbothered by the other. playing it cool and just like ignoring each other until the bride goes missing. So naturally, what do you do in a book like this? You hit the road with someone you have simmering tension with to find the bride. So Emma and Finn set off on a road trip where things might actually be. So that is Mistakes We Never Made by Hannah Brown. That comes out May 7th, so not too long to wait. And I was excited to see, I enjoyed Hannah on her various series of the Bachelor franchise, on both Bachelor and Bachelorette. So if you're interested to see what her fiction endeavors are like, definitely check out Mistakes We Never Made.
My next pick caught me by the title. It sounds hilarious. It sounds a little bit out there. It's listed as Groundhog Day meets Guardians of the Galaxy in a laugh out loud fantasy tale. So this is How to Become the Dark Lord and Die Trying by Django Wexler. This is out May 21st. So as I said, Groundhog Day meets Guardians of the Galaxy in Django Wexler's laugh out loud fantasy tale about a young woman who, tired of defending humanity from the Dark Lord, decides to become the Dark Lord herself. Navi has done this all before. She's tried to be the hero and take down the all-powerful Dark Lord. 100 times, she's rallied humanity and made the final charge, but the time loop always gets her in the end. Sometimes she's killed quickly, sometimes it takes a while, but she's been defeated every time. This time, she's done being the hero and done being stuck in this endless time loop. If the Dark Lord always wins, then maybe that's who she needs to be. It's Davi's turn to play on the winning side.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Hello, and welcome to Novel Conversations, a podcast about the world's greatest stories. I'm your host, Frank Lavallo, and for each episode of Novel Conversations, I talk to two readers about one book, and together, we summarize the story for you. We introduce you to the characters, we tell you what happens to them, and we read from the book along the way. So if you love hearing a good story, you're in the right place. Our ninth season is coming this fall. Tune in to hear from some of the all-time great authors, Charles Dickens, Jules Verne, F. Scott Fitzgerald, and more. Subscribe to Novel Conversations wherever you listen to podcasts.
I don't think you need much more than that. I think it sounds fantastic. It's funny. The cover is really cool. It's just, it's like tongue-in-cheek left and right. But that is How to Become the Dark Lord and Die Trying by Django Wexler. Out May 21st.
Perfectly segues into my next pick, which is also fantasy.
Ooh, look at us go.
I know, we just are perfectly in sync here. This is When Among Crows by Veronica Roth. This is out on May 14th. So Veronica Roth is back with a new urban fantasy novella based on Slavic folklore. So Demeter's family are a long line of hunters, but they sacrifice their souls in order to do so. He's been given a dangerous and deadly mission to track down the witch, Baba Yaga. To gain an advantage and achieve what is like an absolutely impossible mission, he has to classically team up with a sworn enemy. So Ala is a Zmora. Apologies for the pronunciations here when I pick fantasy, whose main job is to basically eat fear and is cursed, merely awaiting death whenever it comes for her. But Demeter offers her a cure if she helps him, so she agrees. And in a story like this, everyone has their own motives that come up against the very real obstacles of time and other monsters set in Chicago's seedy underworld. So I really can't wait for this urban fantasy novella. We have folklore, but it's set against sort of modern day Chicago. And that is When Among Crows by Veronica Roth. And you can read the novella on May 14th.
So cool. I forgot that Veronica is the one who wrote the Divergent trilogy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She has accomplished so much, I feel like, because she wrote her first book at like...
Like it was college like winter break.
20 or something. Right. Yeah. But I am very much looking forward to this. She's done some novellas the last several years.
Yeah.
Which I'll take because anything she wants to write, I will take. But I'm hoping we get a full-length novel soon. I don't know. Yeah,
that would be nice. I love the urban fantasy. I also love bringing folklore into any story. So many hooks for me in that description. I'm still sticking a little on the sci-fi side with my next pick. This is In Our Stars by Jack Campbell. This is the start of the Doomed Earth series, where we hop into Earth 2180, where genetically engineered with partially alien DNA, Lieutenant Selene Genji is different from ordinary humans, and they hate her for it. Still, she spent her life trying to overcome society's prejudice by serving in the United Fleet while Earth's international order collapses into war. Genji is stationed on a ship in orbit when humanity's factional extremism on the planet reaches a boiling point, and she witnesses the utter annihilation of Earth. When the massive forces unleashed by Earth's death warp space and time to hurl her 40 years into the past, Genji is given the chance to try and change the future and save Earth, starting with the alien first contact only she knows will soon occur, Earth 2140. Lieutenant Cale Owens' ship is on a routine patrol when a piece of spacecraft wreckage appears out of nowhere. To his shock, there's a survivor on board, Selene Genji. Once her strange heritage is discovered, though, it becomes clear that Genji is a problem Earth Guard Command wants to dispose of, quietly. After learning the horrifying truth, Owen helps her escape and joins her mission. Together, they have a chance to change the fate of an Earth doomed to die in 2180. But altering history could put Genji's very existence in danger, and Owen wonders if a world without her is one worth saving. So again, some, you know, like, light romance thrown in here with the overall... save the Earth. It's doomed. How do we make this happen? But I was caught by the fun graphicness of the cover and the great description. It's got like a very Star Trek font, but a very comic-esque illustration on the cover. So that is In Our Stars by Jack Campbell, out May 21st.
That sounds fantastic. But in a total pivot, my next pick is a dark comedy. It's A Very Bad Company by Emma Rosenblum. This is out on May 14th. So again, we've got a dark comedy with a commentary on corporate culture wrapped into a mystery. We meet Caitlin Levy. She's just joined the trendy tech startup Aurora as their new head of events, right in time for their big executive retreat in Miami. So the job is great. Caitlin absolutely cannot complain. It comes with a huge salary, stock shares, bonuses, unlimited time off. So almost too good to be true. But on the second day of their retreat in Miami, one of the big wig executives disappears. And this missing executive could jeopardize the future sale of the company and cost that team of executives on the retreat millions of dollars. So what do? They keep up with the retreat. So they continue on with their team building exercises, their fancy dinners, and group brainstorming sessions, all while trying to figure out this mystery and keep the company afloat under looming speculation that like something isn't right. And Emma Rosenblum, the author, she is the chief content officer for the Bustle Digital Group, which oversees, and I'm going to read the whole list because I didn't realize how big this group was, Bustle, Elite Daily, Romper, Nylon, The Zoe Report, Scary Mommy, Fatherly, The Dad, Gawker, Inverse, and Mike. So as the person that oversees that digital content group, she may have some good insight and some funny stories that we see reflected in Very Bad Company. So again, that's by Emma Rosenblum, and that is out on May 14th. This just sounds like a funny contemporary commentary. We've got that dark comedy. And again, sort of wrapped up in that mystery of trying to figure out where that missing executive went. So can't wait. And the cover, Sorry Not Sorry, was very eye-catching as well.
I love the contemporaneous of it, the inclusion of the mystery element, but right, that at the end it's like, let's see what this is really about. For my next pick, I am getting back to my roots. I have a YA thriller here. This is Have You Seen This Girl by Nita Tindall, and this is out May 21st. That seems to be our pop-in date for the month of May. It's for fans of Courtney Summers and Tess Sharp. It's a standalone YA thriller following a non-binary teen investigating a series of copycat murders targeting girls in their small town based on their serial killer dad's MO. So, again, we've got so many things that we both love. Like, here we go. Another girl has gone missing in Cardinal Creek. Sid knows their dad didn't do it this time. He's currently serving a life sentence for the five girls he murdered 10 years ago. Girls whose bodies he dumped into the lake. The same lake where June Hargrove was just found. And while Sid's dad couldn't have done it, suspicion is now directed at Sid. The only person who doesn't suspect Sid is the new girl, Mavis, as long as Sid doesn't let her find out about their past. But Sid has another secret. They're being haunted by the ghosts of the five girls their father killed, except now there are six. And unlike the others, June isn't content to just whisper in Sid's ear. She wants them to find out who's killing again, especially as another girl goes missing. If Sid wants any chance of solving the current disappearances, they're going to have to face what their father did, or risk being haunted forever. From critically acclaimed author of Who I Was With Her, Nita Tindall delivers a page-turning thriller that will captivate, again, fans of Sadie and Monday's Not Coming. I love the sound of this. I love the, like, let's give you that kind of crime, but also make it supernatural by putting the ghosts in the mix. So that is Have You Seen This Girl by Nita Tindall, out May 21st.
Next on my list is Evocation by S.T. Gibson. This is out on May 28th and follows David. He is a Boston attorney by day and naturally a medium for a secret society by night. He is content to live his life that way as he approaches turning 30. Dun, dun, dun. But an old family deal with the devil comes calling. And David's days are now numbered, so he has to turn to the only person he can trust, his ex, Reese. But the only way to access Reese is through his wife, Moira, and the trio have to contend with new and old feelings, all while saving David from the devil. So a very simplified summary of Evocation by S.T. Gibson. This is out May 28th and has been a title to watch on my list for quite some time. So I'm excited for this to be out in the world.
This was another one of the books that was on yours that I was like, no, I want that.
It sounds really good.
It sounds so good. Cannot wait. My next pick is Ghost Roots by Pemi Aguda. This is out May 7th. It's a debut collection of stories set in a hauntingly reimagined Lagos where characters vie for freedom from ancestral ties. So in this beguiling collection of 12 imaginative stories set in Lagos, Nigeria, Pemi Aguda dramatizes the tension between our yearning to be individuals and the way we are haunted by what came before. So in Manifest, a woman sees the ghost of her abusive mother in her daughter's face shortly after the daughter is overtaken by wicked and destructive impulses. There are, in Things Boys Do, a trio of fathers find something unnatural and unnerving about their infant sons. As their lives rapidly fall to pieces, they begin to fear that their sons are the cause of their troubles. So many wonderful stories in this collection. These and other stories in Ghost Roots map emotional and physical worlds that lay bare the forces of family, myth, tradition, gender, and modernity in Nigerian society. Powered by a deep empathy and glinting with humor, they announce a major new literary talent. So that is Ghost Roots by Pemi Aguda, and that is out May 7th.
Moving the train right along, my next pick is When We Were Silent by Fiona McPhillips. This is out on May 21st. So y'all know I love a private school thriller, so that is what we have here. Highfield Manor is Dublin's most exclusive private school. And when Louise Mason enrolls, she's automatically an outsider because of her working class status. That is, until she meets golden girl Shauna Power. But not even Shauna can save Lou from realizing how dark a web Highfield is when their time there ends in a murder. Flash forward 30 years later, and Lou has tried her best not to remember anything of the trauma that happened at Highfield. She has a career that she really loves and a daughter of her own to keep safe and away from all of that mess from her past. But all of that comes crashing down when she gets a call from Shauna's brother, Ronan, who is a lawyer now and is asking for her to testify in a lawsuit that he's bringing against the school. So does she want to dredge all of that back up? Or can this be the confrontation of her past that finally sets her free? So that is When We Were Silent by Fiona McPhillips, out on May 21st.
My next pick, no surprise here. I'm rounding out really in my roots. If Something Happens to Me by Alex Finley. This is out May 28th. Kills me that I have to get all the way through May. But here we go. For the past 5 years, Ryan Richardson has relived that terrible night. The car door ripping open, the crushing blow to the head, the hands yanking him from the vehicle, his girlfriend Allie's piercing scream as she is taken. With no trace of Allie or the car, a cloud of suspicion hangs over Ryan. But with no proof and a good lawyer, he's never charged. Though that doesn't matter to the podcasters and internet trolls. Now, Ryan has changed his last name and entered law school. He's put his past behind him until, on a summer trip abroad in Italy with his law school classmates, Ryan gets a call from his father. Allie's car has finally been found, submerged in a lake in his hometown. Inside are two dead men and a cryptic note with five words written on the envelope in Allie's handwriting. If something happens to me, dot, dot, dot. Then halfway around the world, the unthinkable happens. Ryan sees the man who has haunted his dreams since that night. As Ryan races from the rolling hills of Tuscany to a rural village in the UK to the glittering streets of Paris in search of the truth, he has no idea that his salvation may lie with a young sheriff's deputy in Kansas working her first case, and a mobster in Philadelphia who's experiencing a tragedy of his own. In classic Alex Finley form, If Something Happens to Me is told by several distinct, compelling characters whose paths intersect, detonating into a story of twist after pulse-pounding twist. The novel cements Finley as one of the leading thriller writers of today. Again, that is If Something Happens to Me by Alex Finley, out May 28th. So excited for this one. I love multiple POVs in a thriller. I love this kind of like cross or like this global story happening, you know, having that trauma happen, moving on, being in a different part of your life. And then all of a sudden the past comes crashing into your present. I'm here for it.
I love that we're seeing more mystery and thriller sort of picking back up for summer. So I am all for it.
Me too.
Pivoting a little bit back to romance. My next pick is a YA romance, and that's The Ballad of Darcy and Russell by one of my staple authors, Morgan Matson. This is out on May 7th, and we meet Darcy, who is a hopeless romantic, even though it's never happened to her. She's never been in love. But she knows that one day, when everything is perfect, she'll meet them, the person. Flash forward to a literal disaster of a day. Darcy is stranded at the bus station after a music festival on the day before she leaves for college. Her phone is dead. She's totally stuck at this bus station overnight. Absolutely worst night ever, until she meets Russell. He's kind and funny and cute. Like, is this the moment? But Darcy realizes that a lot can happen in just one night, but does it matter when she's set to leave the very next day? So The Ballad of Darcy and Russell by Morgan Matson is out May 7th, and it is everything I love and adore in a young adult romance. So I absolutely cannot wait for this book. It sounds like chef's kiss perfection.
Sounds so sweet and right up your alley.
So good.
My next pick is from Stephen Rowley. You may have read The Gunkle. I know I enjoyed it. Also, he wrote The Celebrants, another fantastic story. We're returning to the Gunkle universe. This is The Gunkle Abroad, and this will be out May 21st. Patrick O'Hara is called back to his duties, this time for a big family wedding in Italy. Patrick O'Hara is back. It's been 5 years since his summer as his niece Maisie and nephew Grant's caretaker after their mother's passing. The kids are back in Connecticut with their dad, and Patrick has relocated to New York to remain close by and relaunch his dormant acting career. After the run of his second successful sitcom comes to a close, Patrick feels on top of the world professionally, but some things have to take a back seat. Looking down both barrels at 50, Patrick is single again after breaking things off with Emery. But at least he has his family to lean on, until that family needs, again, to lean on him. When Patrick's brother Greg announces he's getting remarried in Italy, Maisie and Grant are not thrilled. Patrick feels drawn to take the two back under his wing as they travel through Europe on their way to the wedding. Patrick tries his best to help them understand love, much as he once helped them comprehend grief. But when they arrive in Italy, Patrick is overextended, managing a groom with cold feet, his sister Clara flirting with guests left and right, a growing rivalry with the kid's charming, soon-to-be lesbian aunt, and two moody young teens trying to adjust to a new normal, all culminating in a disastrous rehearsal dinner. Can Patrick save the day? Will teaching the kids about love help him repair his own love life? Can the change of scenery help Patrick come to terms with finally growing up? Gracing the page with his signature blend of humor and heart, Stephen Raleigh charms with a beloved story about the complicated bonds of family, love, and what it takes to rediscover yourself, even at the ripe age of 50. So again, that is The Gunkle Abroad by Stephen Raleigh, out May 21st.
My final pick is also out on May 21st, and that is Swiped by L.M. Chilton. This sounds great. It's like Bridget Jones' Diary meets like a murder mystery. So Gwen's life is a total disaster. She's broken up with a wonderful man for reasons she won't even really address with herself. She has quit her lucrative job to open a coffee shop. And her best friend is getting married and leaving her behind to navigate the dating world alone. So to fill the void and deal with all that stress, Gwen relies on three things: cheap wine, reality TV, and a dating app. The swiping leads to disastrous date after disastrous date. And then there's a random string of murders in Gwen's English coastal town. And weirdly, the only thing in common between all of the men is that she's been on a date with all of them. Now she's sort of the prime suspect in that killing spree, and she has to figure out who it is before she goes down for those crimes. So this sounds like a really fun modern thriller premise with sort of what it's like to navigate dating and potentially being framed for murder. So that is Swiped by L.M. Chilton, and this is out on May 21st.
Going on the TBR immediately. Sounds like so much fun. My last pick is Joe Nuthin's Guide to Life by Helen Fisher. It's an uplifting novel about a neurodivergent young man who unexpectedly builds a community and saves a friend in need by following, in a way only he can, his mother's words of wisdom. This is out May 28th. Joe Nathan likes the two parts of his name separate, just like dinner and dessert. Mean Charlie at work sometimes calls him Joe Nothin', but Joe is far from nothing. Joe is a good friend, good at his job, good at making things and following rules, and he is learning how to do lots of things by himself. His mother knows there are a million things he isn't yet prepared for in life. While she helps to guide him every day, she is also writing notebooks of advice for him of all the things she hasn't told him yet about life, and things he may forget. By following her advice, Joe's life is about to be more of a surprise than he expects, because he's about to learn that remarkable things can happen when you leave your comfort zone, and that you can do even the hardest things with a little help from your friends. So rounding it out, that is Joe Nuthin's Guide to Life by Helen Fisher, out May 28th. And that brings us to the end of our list today. So those were our May book picks, the titles releasing in May we are most excited for. Emma, thank you for sharing with me today.
Thank you. I hope everyone enjoyed all of our May picks. There's quite a few different vibes happening. So let us know what your number one book for May is.
Yeah, let us know what you're most looking forward to. Hopefully we have some good vibes curated for you. And thank you all so much for listening and happy reading.
Happy reading.
Readers can sample and borrow the titles mentioned in today's episode on overdrive.com or in Libby. Our library friends can purchase these titles in Marketplace. Professional Book Nerds is proud to be an Evergreen Podcast signature program. To learn about other Evergreen podcasts, visit evergreenpodcasts.com. Our podcast is produced, recorded, and edited by Emma Dwyer and Joe Skelly and presented by Overdrive. To learn more, visit professionalbooknerds.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.